What's up, guys? Rick here with your preview for this week's Texas Open, and I have a couple of huge announcements right out of the gate. You're going to see this stuff in a second, but here's the official announcements. Number one, there is a new cheat sheet on rickrungood.com. So you will see that. This is a continuation of getting the website to be much more cohesive and working together. So now the custom model, the golfer profiles, the cheat sheet all work together. So if you star a golfer here, they'll be starred and favorited somewhere else. You can click through and get to the golfer profile pages. You can choose how many tournaments that you want to display in both history and recent form. It's all here for you. So that's a nice little update. All right. And I know some of you don't love change. So the old legacy view of the cheat sheet will be maintained for a little bit until we can get kind of the light view and some other things integrated into the new cheat sheet. I know I don't want to mess up anybody's process right before the master. So that's available. You'll see it on the homepage. It says cheat sheet legacy view. This one's a little bit of a bigger update because it has to do with data, but I have been able to obtain official live shot by shot data. So that information will now start coming into the database, which includes strokes gained breakdowns, okay? Strokes gained off the tee approach, ball striking, short game, all that stuff for the LIV event. So if you're watching right now, you're seeing Brooks Koepka's golfer profile page now being filled in with those strokes gained metrics. So this is a big project and it's going to take some time to get everything into the website, but so far so good. I wanted to make sure I had this out not only for their event in Houston this week, but also for the Masters next week. I will note this. LIV does not use ShotLink. They use a different system to collect data and calculate strokes gained metrics. So you might see some things that have you just scratching your head a little bit. It feels like they're a little bit more extreme. Maybe that's because of the skill differences between the best players and the worst players on LIV, but it's there. Also, there are some rounds missing. I don't know if they had technical issues or anything like that. I'm working with their data team to figure out how to fill those gaps, but it's about 90% complete, I would say, at this point for this season and last season. So I would use this as of right now as a reference, right? Not necessarily as gospel about, you know, are these numbers adding up or anything like that? But you can see, you know, Brooks Koepka has been driving it well. He hasn't putted very well. When he did putt well in Jeddah, just by a little bit, he won the golf tournament. Okay, so we're using this as a bit of a reference. As updates become available, as more information becomes available, I will continue to update this and push more data into the website to always further my goal of having the most complete database that I could possibly have, with as many data points and tours as makes sense. If I can do it, I want to make it better. So that is a big update, and that is flowing into the site right now. Another update, so number three here, is that on Saturday, this Saturday, the 6th, at, what time is this at? 3 p.m. Eastern time, I will do a marathon session of drafting major championship best ball teams. So this will be helpful for major pools. It's going to be helpful for underdog, those major championship best balls. I'm going to go as long as I can. We'll see how long that is. I've got some quirks. I've got some ideas. I might even put together some giveaways for that. So that is on Saturday, and we'll just chill and go through as many of these as possible. So go, please go hit the, you know, notification bell, go get kind of signed up for that in advance. Cause I don't usually do this. It's very much out of the schedule for me, but we are sprinting towards Masters, which means we're sprinting towards major championship season. And then finally, the fourth big update and information that you need to know right out of the gate is because we have done such a good job of participating in the leagues on Splash, whether that is tier-based, whether that is one and dones, whether that is March Madness. Quite honestly, we got the big one. So the big contest on Splash for the major championships is $250,000 guaranteed. Okay. They guaranteed the purse. which is awesome. That's the Run Good contest. So here's the way it works. It's a combination of their tiers game and of one and done. So they call it a use them and lose them. So the way it works is you are going to pick one golfer from each of six tiers for each major. So you are going to pick 24 golfers in total. The little trick here is once you use someone, you cannot use them again, right? So if your tier one for the Masters is Scottie Scheffler, you cannot use Scottie Scheffler ever again. So I think this is a nice little natural progression in where the space is at. You've got a little bit of tiers, you've got a little bit of one and done. There's a lot of strategy, and it's just for the major championships. It's $100 entry, $250,000 guaranteed, which is so awesome. Do me a favor. Let's not look stupid here. Let's try to get as many people in as we can as quickly as possible. And all the links that you need for that and for everything else will be in the description. Again, this is just me trying to make the website as great as possible, trying to make the community as fun as possible, and really just enjoying it along the way. I enjoy it, and I hope you guys too. Okay, Texas Open. Let's get to it. All right, let's start with the golf course here. TPC San Antonio, lots of good data and information. They are slightly larger than average greens at 6,400 square feet. Par 72, that'll play about 7,400 yards. And while we have a bunch of historical data, there's not a lot of, how do I want to put this? Like highly correlated stats to success, right? A lot of the major ones are right around average, if not a little bit below average. And then you get some of the wonky ones that are, okay, you know, approaches from the rough from inside 100 yards, and putting seems to pop up quite a bit when you get into some of the more wonky stats. Like you see a lot of one putt percentage, overall putting average, putts per round. And then you get to like a very, this is very bad. This is why it's on the left-hand side of the screen and not part of the really good stats, is putts per round for round one, putts per round for round four. But because you do add up basically eight consecutive putting stats, that is at least notable for me. The thing that I find most unique about the data on this golf course is the two extremes of where approach shots come from. So you see more than average approach shots come from inside 100 yards. And then you see more than average approach shots come from outside of 200 yards. And all of those other buckets in the middle are below tour average, which is rare. I can't remember a time where I've seen that. There's usually either kind of a natural progression or, you know, it's not usually the two ends of the barbell, but that is what we're seeing here, at least in terms of relative to the tour averages. So that's something that we want to look at. But what I think is most fascinating about this event is the field, right? And you've got a very strong field the week before the Masters. You'll see a lot of these average drives, you know, not getting over 290 yards. There are some guys that kind of lay back to some specific spots, and there's not always a huge reward for hitting it far off the tee. That's statistical, right? That's not necessarily the case about just golf in general, but you know, comparing this off the tee profile to a lot of other off the tee profiles, and you would see much more of a missed fairway penalty. You would see longer drives being rewarded in some way. This is not a stat profile that screams bombers, if that makes sense. So that's the way that I read this. It's a lot of data, but not a lot of things that point you in any specific directions. All right, here it is, the brand new cheat sheet. We've got the slates are now dropping down from the left-hand side, so you can, you know, get Masters data, you can get LIV and Korn Ferry, but we're going to focus obviously here right now on the Valero Texas Open. And if you do want to add more previous tournaments, you can just change that and see, you know, last 10 weeks, or you can see more history. But I like to go with basically 6 and 5 out of the gate, and then we can expand from there. So For golfers over $10,000, Rory McIlroy leads the way at 12,300, Hideki at 10,600, Ludwig at 10,500, and then Colin Morikawa at 10,100. Right out of the gate, I'm impressed, and I believe it is correct that Hideki is the second most expensive golfer in this field. I don't know if I would have bet on that. I think I could have seen Ludwig up there. I think Hideki's just generally lower price than he should be, but I think that that is deserving. And then to see Colin Morikawa at 10,100 is curious. He hasn't played well. He has never played this event before in his career. I think you could make a lot of cases that Max Homa, Matt Fitzpatrick, Corey Connors should all be more expensive than Colin, but we've got to kind of factor that into some of the things that we're thinking about here. All right, I am going to flip this around and look at the global view just so that we can hover over and see where these guys have played, and this will actually give us all the data now, right? So you know, Rory has a start in his last six in Dubai, so that's not, we're not just looking at PGA Tour starts as well. So let's begin with Rory McIlroy, and I can, you know, click his name now and get his golfer profile up here. Is he deserving of a $12,300 price? Losing strokes off the tee at the Players Championship is something that is, you know, very unlikely to happen again, right? You can see the gains that he's had. It's been almost a year since he lost strokes off the tee, and he did it at the Players. You assume that that is going to be figured out. The big question here to me is, what do those second shots look like? We have seen recently losing three out of his last five on approach, and a couple of those in a significant way. Those left misses, when he has those left misses, that is when he starts getting into trouble. We've seen him hit more errant shots, more water balls, more out of bounds. There's more penalty strokes this year in 2024 than we've probably ever seen from Rory. The good news is, it's not a golf course with a ton of penalty strokes out there, right? It's not a Florida golf course where there's water everywhere. He usually does not stay struggling like this for extended periods of time. If you go down and look, oh, by the way, the putting splits are back on the left-hand side of the golfer profiles. I know you liked that. The courses are back on the bottom. So I know you guys were looking for that as well. If you go and look at some of these proximity buckets, you know, he is kind of hit and miss with the wedges. Some of these buckets, he is outside the top 100 from 50 to 75 yards. Not a huge sample size at this point in the year, but from 75 to 100, he's first. So he can dial in those wedges. And then, you know, let's go back to last season. That might be a better sample size for him. You can see that normally from those longer distances, he's very, very good. So you have to decide this week are you going to give Rory McIlroy the long-term view, or are you going to give him the short-term view? I prefer the long-term view. He hasn't played since the Players Championship, so he's had a little bit of time to get right. This is, I think, even if he does continue to, quote, struggle like he did at those last few events, this is a much better golf course for him to struggle on, and it's going to be a much weaker field. So despite the struggles, he has four straight top 25s, right? I'm acting like he has failed to make a weekend here in 2024. That is not remotely the case. He's got decent finishes, just not Rory-esque finishes as he tries to figure out the Masters for next week. Hideki's next. And this is, you know, I did not know what the pricing was going to be, obviously, for Hideki or for any of these guys. And I was just excited to get access to Hideki for this week. And I'm sure we've mentioned this before, but I want to just reiterate how good he has been. Okay. So he is back to being elite ball striking Hideki. Plus two at Riv, where he won, plus three at API, T12, plus 6.5 at the Players Championship. And oh, by the way, gained strokes putting in three of his last four. This is really strong play from Hideki. And it goes back farther than that. You know, his whole 2024 has been solid. He started off with, T30 at Sony, kind of eased his way in, T13 at Farmers. He had a T22 in Phoenix. He's been playing low key, really good golf. And I don't know if anybody's outside of the Sunday at Riviera, has anybody noticed? Has anybody cared? Finished 15th here last year, 30th in 2021. He withdrew in 2022. You're seeing that on his profile right there. So right now, without knowing what the projected ownership is going to be. And it's going to now come into the cheat sheet with the, you know, the updated number. So you'll be able to see the trends there, just like you can on the custom model. I'll be interested to see who goes with Rory, who goes with Ludwig, and what that does with Hideki in the middle here. Ludwig's just unbelievable, right? I mean, we're seeing something very, very special. He's putting together not only a phenomenal stat profile, but he is putting together just like great finishes. I'm just trying to put a lot of this into perspective. So he turned pro. Let's look at this. He turned pro, would have been in June-ish, right? Yeah. RBC Canadian Open, right? I believe was his first event. That was June 11th because he would have like end of the year would have been what, May or something, June. And then for school year, and then he would have, he might've played the Canadian Open as an amateur and he might've made his pro start. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It goes back to the Canadian Open is basically when he started playing a full on schedule. So that was June 11th, 2013. Okay. So June 11th, 2013, since then, he is the second best player in this field behind Rory McIlroy. There are only 7 golfers who are gaining a stroke per round during that period. Ludwig's at 1.4. Rory's at 1.7. Ludwig's also done it in 17 more rounds than Rory has. And he's actually done it in more rounds than basically anybody but Brian Harman and Eric Cole, if you're looking for guys who have gained a stroke per round. And he's probably done it in stronger fields than some of these other guys as well. I know he won. Did he win the RSM? Was that the one that he won? Does that sound right? Why am I blanking? Yeah, he won the RSM. So it would have been a weaker field there, but he's spectacular. He's absolutely spectacular. I think a lot of people are going to opt for Ludwig potentially over Hideki. So that is where I think one of the most interesting kind of first decisions that people are going to make it comes from. And then Colin Morikawa, I don't know. I don't know what to do with him. I'm not sure anybody really knows what to do with him. The finishes have not been good. 2024 has not treated him well. He started off great at the Century and then he missed the cut and he had a couple top 20s, but missed cut at API, T45 at the Players, and even more concerning, losing strokes on approach along the way. The putter has betrayed him often in his career and continues to betray him. He's driving it okay. This is a pretty concerning stat profile. If this was not Colin Morikawa, I would look at this and say, wow, you know, this guy's got a lot of different levers that he's going to have to pull, a lot of different holes that he's going to have to plug. It's not one thing. It's not putt well. It's not clean up the short game. It's not keep it in play off the tee. It's all of that and then some. So this is a really concerning stat profile. I'm worried about. I'm truly worried about. I want to look at this. I want to look at since January 1st, 2024, and just go by salaries here. Colin is a less than a half a stroke per round golfer, 0.43. It's worse than Corey Connors. It's worse than Matt Fitzpatrick. It's worse than Adam Scott. It's worse than a lot of guys, right? It's barely better than Lucas Glover and just below KH Lee. That's where we're at with Colin. So it's not good. The 9K range, and I can just, use this little slider and get rid of those guys at the top. That was fun. So we've got some interesting names here. The one that caught my attention immediately was Ben Ahn. And I know that might be a crazy thing to say. Look at these last 6. And actually, I want to go out a little bit further. Let's go last 12 or 10 for Ben Ahn. And he had the miscut at the Players Championship. I will give almost anybody the benefit of the doubt for a miscut at the Players Championship or really anywhere in Florida. Outside of that, T8 at API, T21 at Cognizant, T16 at Riv. We are talking about some great golf in 2024, also in designated events, signature events, whatever we're calling them now. He has not played this event every single year, but he's played it 3 times in the last 5. And 2 of those, he has top 7 finishes. We have not seen him since the Players. So I was, the reason it caught my attention, I'm like, okay, well, you know, do people realize how good he's been? Do they realize how good he has been in signature events? Do they realize that he has plugged the worst part of his game, which is the putter, and he's gained in 6 of 8. And do they remember that he's even playing that well? Because we haven't seen him since the Players' Championship. And do they know he has great course history? Add it all up. And I, like that is why I flagged Benyon like basically immediately here, right? He just caught my attention, $9,000. And I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting, knowing that Corey Connors at $9,400 is doing just an absolute epic Corey Connors thing where he's, I'm sure, going to win this for a third time, right? You know, the win in 2019, the win in 2023, he's playing just good enough golf for everybody to be excited about him, right? You know, he's peaking at the right time. He's trying to get the game into shape. I'll pull it up. It's, you know, it's like nothing inside the top 10. It's a bunch of finishes from 10th to 30th. The putter is still a problem, though. He gives us enough hope at the Players' Championship by gaining 2.4 strokes putting there. The ball striking is insane. What I want to do is this. Let's pull up TPC San Antonio and look at his putting numbers. Small positive in his win in 2023, small loss in 22, big gain in 2021, finished T14, big gain in 2019 where he won, and then a small gain in 2018, very, very small. So whether he's got these greens figured out, I don't know. But I imagine he's going to be incredibly popular. I hate to say it, but like, I'm interested in him, and I'm not a Corey Connors guy, but I mean, he's giving us he's getting better every single week. He's been one of the best ball strikers. This place has been heaven for him. Maybe the pivot is to Benyon. We'll see what that ownership is. Wednesday, live chat, 3 p.m. Eastern time on the Rick Rungood YouTube channel. We will know a lot more. Throw Max Homa into the category of guys that you can forgive for a T64 at the Players Championship. You know, he's had this really good run from Ned Bang, where he won, starting off well in 2024, and then doesn't play particularly well at the Players, but we can forgive that a little bit. And then the biggest question, and I'm sure I said the same thing last week, is I just have no idea what to do with Jordan Spieth, right? And it's pretty sick that they gave Jordan Spieth and Corey Connors basically similar, identical pricing. And you look at Jordan's profile, and there's a lot of red and a lot of black on the ball striking stuff, which is probably going to keep me away from him. He has not been good with wedges in hand. He's been outside. He is outside the top 100 in every proximity bucket from 0 to 200 yards. And then he gets a little bit better from 200 to 225. And the putting is still very good. This is problematic. What I just hope is we get a little bit of something before we go to the Masters next week, but that is truly, truly problematic. By the way, I'll be at the Masters next week. I am beyond excited. I've never been. I mostly owe it all to you guys, right? I mean, the support allows for people to care, allows for CBS to care and send me there, which I'm very excited about. If anybody has hints, tips, tricks, my DMs are open. My emails are open. Leave them in the comments, right? Like I'm accepting any and all Masters recommendations, Augusta recommendations, travel to like whatever you got, fire it my way. I will gladly accept it. So very excited. I will be there. So I'm traveling Tuesday of next week. So, the plan is to be there Wednesday for the practice round. And then I'm actually there through Monday. I'm not coming back until Tuesday again. So, just going to be so much fun. An absolute blast. This 9K range though. So just to put a bow on this, Benyon, with pricing and everything else, is probably my favorite. And I'm hoping that he is a decent pivot from Connors and Spieth. If for whatever reason, we do get a non-egregiously high owned Corey Connors, I will probably match the field. So if he comes in at 18%, if he comes in at 32, you can have him. If he comes in at 18, I'll probably match the field. And then, you know, we didn't really talk about Matt Fitzpatrick, who figured out how to drive it again, thanks to removing some weight out of the grip of his driver, and played much better at the Players' Championship. So there's a lot of really good options in this 9K range. The 8K range starts with another guy, that I'm quite interested in. It's Alex Noren. You know, did you realize what Alex Noren did over the weekend? You might not have. That's okay. But he had two really great weekend rounds in Houston where he gained 3.3 and 3.8 strokes to the field to go with a Thursday and Friday gain and gain. So he finished T11. It's not just the T11. It's not just Florida. So he's got the T11, T19 at the Players, T9 at Honda. Those are his last three. Go back farther than that. He was pretty darn good on the West Coast, had two top 25s at the American Express and the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You go back to even at the end of last year, he finished runner-up in Bermuda. I mean, he has been playing great golf. Finished third in Vegas at the Shriners. He's been playing great golf since what would have been the start of the 2024 season, right? Or we're back to the calendar year now, but like that fall swing at the Fortinet, missed the cut there and has been splendid ever since. So I love the grind. I love the stat profile. I love the way he's doing it, so well-rounded. I want to see if he has played. I'm sure he's played Valero. Played it last year and finished T15. So again, in a similar way that Ben On caught my attention immediately after looking at a range, Alex Noren caught my attention. I actually knew leading in that I was going to be pretty interested in Alex Noren because I saw what he was doing on the weekend last week. It is worth noting. So, you know, we always fight this battle between perception, reality, these guys being good narrators or reliable narrators or not. But there's a really good intersection between a guy saying that something changed and then seeing that change immediately in his stat profile. And that's what we have with Billy Horschel right now. So he has three top 12 finishes in his last four starts. The one missed cut was the Players Championship. He discussed this a little bit last week. I've heard him discuss it, I think, in a presser a couple of days before that as well. They changed the degrees of his golf clubs. I believe it was like 3 or 4 degrees upright is what they changed it to, or 3 to 4 degrees flatter or whatever it was. The way that he said it made it seem like they discovered they were that far off, which that cannot be. That would have to be an error. That would be a big thing. But basically went back to a percentage, a degree from previous years, I guess. And he's much more comfortable with it. And all of a sudden, he's stroking it, right? 3.8 strokes gained ball striking in each of the last two. He gained 5.1 at the Cognizant. The putter has always been something that he can rely on and that he can lean on. The short game is very good. He has played this event a lot. He has not played it recently. So last time he played this event was 2019. He missed the cut. So he's played it like 8 times, but not since 2019. He has a handful of top 10 and top 5 finishes along that stretch, but I don't know how seriously you want to take any of those considering the last time he played it was 5 years ago. But Billy Horschel really rounding into form at the moment. Harris English continues to play well. Haven't seen him since the Players where he finished inside the top 20. So now both of those big events, API and the Players, Harris English goes back-to-back top 25s, which adds to a top 25 in Phoenix, adds to a top 10 at Riviera, go back to the start of the year. I mean, let's go look at the Holy Grail, right? Start of the year, we'll do it this way. Best guys in the field, raw strokes gained since the start of the year. Start of 2024. Christian Bezuidenhout, number one. Really? That was just PGA Tour events. Sorry, I had a filter in there. So I was like, I knew that can't be right. He's been great. He hasn't been that good. Rory McIlroy, number one. Christian Bezuidenhout, number two. Alex Noren, number three. Ludvig, four. Thorbjørn Olesen, five. Billy Horschel, Doug Gim. Here's Harris English. So he's basically like the 12th best player. He's been better than Jordan Spieth. Right below Adam Scott. That is how good he has been, right? And it's just perpetual every single week what he's been up to. This range in general doesn't have a lot of guys who've played here before. You get some guys who played here in 2019. Alex Noren played here last year. There's not a lot of history to go on. So you're looking at kind of course fit, you're looking at recent form, and it's for me, I think it's Noren, I think it's Horschel, I think it's English. I'm most interested, and I don't know if this is good, bad, or indifferent, but I'm most interested in what Tom Kim does. What version of Tom Kim are we getting? When he first started on the PGA Tour, it was unbelievable. Goes into a little bit of a slump. Then he starts breaking out again at the end of last year. Now is he going back into that slump? Look at these finishes. You know, he goes miscut at American Express, 31st, 17th, 24th, 62nd, 52nd, WD. I believe it was illness at the Players, like after five holes or something like that. Can we say it was just the Florida swing? Can we give him the benefit of the doubt going back to Texas? Because I think this is kind of a decent spot for him. And I think that the price is way too low at 8,100. I also think that he is not going to be popular at all. So he's the wild card in this range for me. Tom Kim, $8,100. Can he find enough of that magic? Is it maybe it's just he got the Florida swings, right? Like that, it's not that crazy. The 7K range, we've already mentioned him. Christian Bezuidenhout, one of the best players in the world since the start of 2021. And we've been monitoring this for a long time, because when you put up these gains on approach, you are going to have my full and undivided attention, especially when you're already one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. And now the results are following. Really good finish to last week. Finished with gaining four strokes to the field on Sunday, ends up finishing T9. So he's just piling up really good finishes. He's getting better off the tee. We talked about the rest of this. Just stellar stuff. Aaron Rye has got back-to-back top 30s at this event and then played well last week. I want to look at that profile though and just make sure that it wasn't completely run by the putter. No, it wasn't. This is a very good stat profile. Yeah, he putted well, had his best putting performance since the American Express, but gained throughout the bag, had his best ball striking week since Mexico. So that's good there as well. It was not all reliant on the putter. God, Akshay makes so many silly mistakes, but his game is so good. You know, he is so raw and so talented. Gains 8.8 strokes ball striking last week, putts it well. He will do something stupid every day, right? He'll hit a really bad chip shot. He'll take a line that he probably shouldn't take, all that fun stuff. But man, he is so, so talented. I love what he is able to do. I don't know how much exposure I'll be able to get to him though. I think in smaller doses, maybe your showdowns, maybe your first round leaders, your things of that nature, where you're asking for a lot of high upside and you're willing to take on the risk. Every time I try to get away, Lucas Glover reels me back in. I can't imagine there's any golfer we have documented more on this channel than Lucas Glover. Just the path of team no putt to, oh my God, I can putt and I can win twice, to team no putt to where we are right now, which is me being back in. So there's a lot to unwrap here. Played at Valspar, gained a ton around the green. That's unlikely to happen again. He finished 11th and was a positive with the putter. He was very candid in his presser that he is now using. So he's still using that long lab golf putter, but it's a different model head that is easier for him to line up. So he still likes the balance. He still likes everything. He goes from basically having a block is what the previous putter was to it has some wings on it, and it's a little bit easier to line up. It's a little bit easier to look down at. Gained like 3.5 strokes putting in round one and round two, gave a little bit back in round three and round four. That alone, combined with his history around here, which is a lot, he's played here a ton and he's had a bunch of success. 45th last year, 18th, 4th, 14th is his last 4 years. Generally has putted well outside of two really bad losses, one last year and one in 2015. This is, you know, we are trying Lucas Glover. We've been boxing and weaving with Lucas Glover for the better part of a year. And we try to get in, we try to get out and get him right. I think this is an opportunity to buy because he has legitimate winning upside. And there are not a lot of guys at the bottom of the 7K range that you would feel that about. And this is one of the better courses for him. And we saw enough at Valspar and learned about the putter. So that to me, again, just like Billy Horschel, it is a comment that he makes. And it's also kind of matching up with the stat profile. Victor Perez and Mark Hubbard have both been sneaky good, but let me show you Victor Perez's profile here. Would you have expected this from Victor Perez? Has gained on approach every event dating back to the Andalusia Masters, like 10 events. And yes, I got the strokes gain numbers for DP World Tour. Generally loses on and around the putting surfaces, but he's now gained putting in two of his last three. And that does not even include Puerto Rico, where we don't get the strokes gain breakdown, but he finished third there. So you can assume he probably putted pretty well. It includes a gain of over half a stroke putting in Houston last week. This is a very good stat profile for somebody at the bottom of the 7K range. And then Mark Hubbard as well. I mean, he's a made cut machine, right? Hasn't missed a cut since the Sony Open. Okay. So the 6K range here is pretty interesting. We saw that KH Lee was like one of the better players of 2024. Now, the thing with him is that comes in spurts. It's T4, missed cut, T9, right? Like that's how he gets there. The opposite guy of that is Doug Gim, who, despite the miscut in Houston, has been a lot more consistent, but maybe does not have that same level of upside. So it kind of depends on what you're looking for there. The best course history in this range is Kuchar, right? Third, second, 12th, and 7th in his last four trips. But I'm not sure that I can get past 4 miscuts out of his last 5, 6 in his last 8. A stat profile that will probably make your head spin. And even when things have gone right for him, you know, he got off to a hot start. I guess it was it at Valspar? It might have been. He was like 5 under through, I'm exaggerating, but he was probably like 5 under through 9 at one of these events and was like over par by the time the round ended. I don't know if it was the first round of Valspar, but it was the first round somewhere. Maybe it was the Players, honestly. It's just a really, really bit. You can't lose 12 strokes on approach in your last 6 rounds and have me excited about you. I just don't think that's going to happen. Is it Novak week again? So finished 53rd last week. Not great, but he's $6,500. And now he's got 4 top 17s in his last 6 starts. And he finished 9th here last year. Is it Seamus Power week? Can we forgive him for the final round at Valspar and realize that he's got 3 top 30s, 4 top 30s in his last 6? Hasn't missed a cut since Farmers. That's kind of interesting. The one time that we played Bud Cauley was Valspar and he missed the cut. He's been great other than that. Maybe we go back to Bud Cauley here. Or do you go to the Toast Man? Alejandro Tosti, coming off the second place finish. Big tie for second in Houston. Let's look at that stat profile. He is just a masher off the tee. Look at these numbers. You know, he's played, 8 events on the PGA Tour this year, has not lost strokes off the tee in any of them, and gains in a big way. The rest of his game is usually a lot more erratic. And the one thing that is you can see is, I mean, an 11 or 12 shot difference in putting between Valspar and Houston. And that's not the only time he does that, right? He had a 6.5 stroke putting difference between Farmers and Mexico, right? He's just constantly bouncing all around. I think this is, it does a little bit feel like chasing, but the price is still very reasonable at $6,300. The arguably most mispriced golfer in the field is Matty Schmidt. He is $6,300. So he's in the same price range as JJ Spahn, Adam Svensson, Alejandro Tosti. Svensson has missed 3 of his last 5 cuts and has 0 top 45s. Tosti, we already talked about, 1 finish inside the top 70 in his last 5. It was a runner-up finish. Spahn, yes, he's won here before, does not have a top 30 in his last 10 starts. Matty Schmidt has gone T21, T17, T26, T10. He's using the long putter. It's working. He's already very good off the tee, quite long. This to me is a bad price. He has got to be more expensive than this. He is, in my opinion, a lot better than Cam Champ, a lot better than Johnny Vegas, a lot better than some of these other guys. And just look at it. I mean, would you look at it? Look at all the miscuts around him. Look at all the poor play around him. And then look at his last 4, basically since he started to use the new putter. Right. That's what this lines up with. There are a couple interesting darts down here, even lower. Martin Laird at 6,100, who's got four straight made cuts or five straight made cuts. Three of them are top 30s, two of them are top 10s, and he's got some decent finishes around here. That's interesting to me. Going down into, Jimmy Stanger, missed cut at the Valspar, forgive and forget. Aaron Baddeley's here. This is kind of like the Aaron Baddeley event, right? T18 in 2022, T30 in 2019. He's got a bunch of top 25s lately. I just think there's a really good chance Aaron Baddeley finishes like T17 in this event. And he's probably not going to win. He's probably not going to contend. But for $5,900, if he finishes T17, that probably goes a long way. The 5K range. The 5K range is almost better than that range that Matty Schmidt is in, at least with some of these guys who have shown to have higher upsides. So Joe Highsmith, who finished 21st last week, 6th in Puerto Rico, showed his Korn Ferry Tour upside at the end of last year with a couple of podiums there, is kind of interesting. Eric Barnes finished 2nd in Puerto Rico and 17th in Houston. David Skins is playing well. I mean, these are almost better lead-in form guys than what we saw up above that. Obviously not great, not blowing the socks off, but much better. The perpetually disrespected Dylan Wu, who has three top 25s in his last five starts and made the cut, at least in Houston, is $5,700. The sneaky one might be Padraig Harrington. So he missed the cut in Houston. We'll pull up his stat profile in a second. He won in Newport Beach at the Hoag Classic, his start before that. He crushes the senior tour, and I understand that they are not the same. He did finish 10th here last year, and he is still very, very competitive. Let's pull up his profile here. Give me something outside of a senior. He made the cut in Mexico, made the cut at a European. Yeah, he might. This is so tough, man, because he's definitely outclassed on the PGA Tour. But he dominates the senior tour. And he does okay sometimes on weaker field PGA and European tour events. I would kind of love to roll him out here. I'm not sure I can get there though. He's very, very cheap. He is $5,300. That's a tough one. I'm going to have to chew on that a little bit longer. Let's see what we can find model wise here. So custom model, rickrungood.com. You can put in any number of little nuggets that you want. So here, I think we're just going to be pretty straightforward. I don't think we need to do anything crazy. Let's do a weighted strokes gain total baseline of 25. And then what we'll do is strokes gained off the tee last 12 for 15. Strokes gained approach last, I think I did off the tee last 24. Strokes gained approach last 12 for 15. Strokes gained around the green last 24 for 15. And strokes gained putting last 24 for 15. Okay. Got a little bit of a weighted recent strokes gain total. And then we're going to use our last 15, honestly, probably just on course history, TPC San Antonio. Probably get a lot of Corey Connors here. Our number one golfer. Wow. Okay. Alex Noren. Now look at his value though. So normally our number one golfer has a value, what, in the 90s? Alex Noren is 85. Hideki is 2. Mav McNealy is 3. Harris English is 4. Billy Horschel is 5. Wow. Rory 6. Ludvig 7. Åberg, Spieth, and Scott round out the top 10. 11 and 12 are Bennion and Corey Connors. Novak gets a big bump to 16. Doug Gim gets a big bump to 15. Aaron Rye gets a big bump to 13. Just trying to see. Ben Griffin always models well for me. Especially on court. When you start plugging in short game stuff, he always shows up. This is a different type of model for me, right? Just very, very deliberate strokes gain stuff and course history. I don't mind it. We can revisit it later in the week. I just don't get the sense that there's one thing or two things that are really going to be. Actually, you know what? While we're here, let's just do this. I'm going to get rid of the strokes gained approach, and I'm going to bring down weighted strokes gained to 15. And then what I'm going to do is I'll go to approach, and I'll do. So I've got 25 to use here. So I'll put 12 on 200 to 225. and I'll split 13 between the two buckets that are shorter. So basically what I'm saying is use those proximity buckets that are short and long. So this changes it up a little bit. Hideki is one, Adam Scott, Matt McNeely, Ludwig, Christian Bezuidenhout is top five. And then 6 through 10 are Novak, English, Rory McIlroy, Alex Noren, and Jordan Spieth. So Noren and English are both top 10 players in both of them. Hideki's either one or two. Matt McNeely, I believe, was third in both of them. Christian Bezuidenhout, I believe, was top 10 in both of them. So yeah, interesting. Okay, well, we've got work to do. We've got work to do not only for this week, but we've got work to do for next week. As I'm recording this, salaries are out for the Masters. So you'll start see there's already a custom model, there's already a cheat sheet. You will start seeing all that filter in, and we are rolling now. Again, thank you all so much. It's the opportunity I get to do all this because of you. So much appreciated. Best of luck this week, and I'll talk to you soon.